is 91.7 WVXU Cincinnati Edition. I'm Marianne Zalesnik, filling in for Mark Haney. Transitioning from high school to college has its challenges, but what if you have dyslexia, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or autism? We'll hear what colleges are doing to help students with learning difficulties. But first, what do people around the world think about the United States presidential election? Joining me today are a state parliamentarian in the German state of Schleswig-Holstein and vice chair of the Social Democratic Party in Germany, Rolf Stagner, and correspondent with Deutsche Welle, Oliver Salat. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk at wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, and you all can say your cities and names better than I can when we get going, but I gave it my good college try there. To start out with, Rolf, I'd like to start with you and have you tell us why you're in the United States right now.
Well, we are here to observe the presidential election, and we are traveling through Ohio, came from Cleveland over Columbus to Cincinnati, because everybody tells us that the presidential election is decided here in this state. It's at least one of the few states that are very highly contested. And it seems to be a very unique campaign also. I mean, we saw what Bernie Sanders did to the Democratic Party there, and we see what the Trump movement does to the Republicans on the other side. And it's fascinating to see that you hear that there are two candidates more disliked as any candidates in the last elections. And especially the Europeans are very astonished that a candidate like Donald Trump doesn't even get close to be elected president of the United States.
Now, you say we. Tell us who is traveling with you and what your group is all about, how you are here.
Yeah, my group is a group of social democratic politicians. I'm myself chairman of the parliamentary group of social democrats in the northern state of Schleswig-Holstein and deputy chairman of my party. And since we have general elections next year, too, in Germany and also elections in my state, it's interesting for us to see how election campaigns are made here and see the differences, see the what's common. It's very fascinating to see the volunteer machine that's going on here and how elaborated the social media use is already for election campaigns. That's different from what we see. And on the other hand, to see this emotional way to go about things and some crazy things like post-factorial politics, as we'll hear about it, which is hard to understand for a social democrat what that should be.
Well, you say that observing how the election campaigns work is so different. How is it different from what you see in Germany?
Well, we have stronger party organizations where the party members would go and canvass and do things like that. Here you have so many volunteers just coming and working for a person day and night. And what the real difference is, I mean, how much a role money plays in this whole game. And you got to be a millionaire to become president. That's an interesting idea for democracy. And to see that how much the big money really is put into all of that. How much negative campaigning, for instance, there is. I mean, we saw then the Senate race here in Ohio, how much money is spent just to saying bad things about one of the candidates and how that obviously seemed to work. Or to see that you have a presidential candidate here who basically insults every minority there is, and the women too, and still is close in the polls that it's at least a possibility that he might win. All of that is very fascinating for a political junkie.
Oliver, tell us why you're here.
Well, I'm here with the so-called RIAS Commission. That's a foundation that fosters a transatlantic understanding of German and American journalists. So every year, a group of American journalists travels to Germany and to Europe. And I'm among the German group who's here this year. And I'm lucky enough to be here just a little while before the elections take place. And now we've been in Washington, D.C. in the first week. We are right now here in Cincinnati. Very, very interesting for me to see how the election works here in a battleground state, really. So I'm trying to get in touch with people here, try to join as many rallies as possible. I'm going to see Donald Trump tomorrow in Springfield. So very interesting times to be here.
And tell us a little bit about what you've observed so far.
Right. So, I mean, I'm seeing a very divided country, really, among two groups, obviously, with a rhetoric that is probably unprecedented. And it's very fascinating to see that one person can say whatever he wants, doesn't get hurt. He is continuing to be very popular in the polls. It seems very surreal, and I feel like that many Americans feel the same way. They're kind of like eagerly awaiting the election day and hope for this to be over at some points. What I'm very curious about is what's going to happen to the around 40% of Trump voters, even if Hillary is going to win the election. What are they going to do afterwards? What's going to happen to them? Because they're still going to be there, and they're still going to be convinced about their positions, obviously.
Now, you both have mentioned that you're very surprised with Donald Trump being able to say a number of things that he has, and it seems to, you know, be Teflon a little bit and fall off of him. It doesn't seem to affect him. Do you think a candidate could get away with that in Germany?
I don't think so. I mean, it's especially not if you sometimes hear really real lies. I mean, telling something that's not the truth, and then you see the soundbite where exactly that was said, what he just said before, that wasn't the truth. And to get away with that, that seems to be pretty difficult. And on the other hand, I mean, we're talking about a very, very influential position. I mean, the American president is the most powerful politician in the world, probably. America is a big ally of Germany. And here you elect a guy who comes near to the red button. I mean, that's something people, a lot of people worry about, observing the elections here.
Are Germans worried if Donald Trump gets elected, do you think?
I think they are.
What do they worry about specifically?
Well, I mean, he doesn't give the impression that he knows what NATO is all about and why we have a good cooperation together. We know Hillary Clinton. I mean, she was Secretary of State, and obviously we know her husband as he did as president, and we had good relations, and we want that to remain as a good relation. And Donald Trump doesn't seem to know much about foreign policy, and the things he says seem to be dangerous. Well, a lot of people say, well, then after those people are elected, things are completely different. That's just rhetoric. But it's hard to understand what is only rhetoric and what we got to see afterwards, and we don't really want to try. Yet, on the other hand, it's a democratic election. And I agree to what you just said. I mean, you see this as a very divided country, and this country has to come together after the election again. And also, it's a very peculiar notion that you have a candidate in one of the debates. I had to comment that for a radio station in Germany, and I heard the candidate, Donald Trump, say, well, let's see. I am not really sure that I accept the result of a democratic election in the end. That's a strange notion for democracy.
Oliver, what do you think other people in Germany think? Do you think everyone's worried if Donald Trump might become president, if he is elected?
Yeah, I think so. And you'd be surprised, actually, how closely Germans follow U.S. politics in the first place. That's always on the headlines in Germany, I would say, more than you would actually think. And right now, with these elections in particular, that have been so different than anything that has happened before here, Germans follow this very closely. And they are concerned because they don't know what they would get under a President Trump, first of all. And as we've just heard, Ralph said that we have a politician that is very, very experienced and had many political jobs and duties. Now comes a guy, a billionaire, you know, that is already seen very odd in Germany. That would probably not be possible that way. That has no political experience other than this campaign, and the things he says and the way this is kind of like damaging democracy is a very big concern to Germans. And you would probably see that in Germany. If you had the elections in Germany, then you would have a landslide win for Hillary Clinton of 90% probably.
Some Americans feel, though, as you said, that Donald Trump is not well known, is not as known across the world as Hillary Clinton, and obviously as she served as Secretary of State. But it's because he's that outsider that he's getting support from a number of people here in the United States. It's because he is not so connected and hasn't done all of those things. Do you think that a candidate in Germany would ever get that kind of support because they were not from the establishment?
Yeah, on one sense, you can compare that because we don't have this two-party system. And we have more parties, so more opinions would find their way through different parties. On the other hand, we have a problem with the system. You could see that, I think, with the Bernie Sanders movement here. There are problems of global justice funds that have to be addressed. There are people who are alienated because they see which role big money plays, not only in the Republican Party, but also in the Democratic Party. And there are reasons why Hillary Clinton has such a tough job to get the people enthusiastic for her campaign. And I think the populists, they raise the right questions. The only problem is they give the wrong answers. That is the problematic point.
What do you mean?
I mean, to address the question how the society is divided and why we have unemployment, how we go about globalization, what's fair trade, why do the jobs go from the United States to Mexico, and all those things, those are questions that have to be addressed. But the answers that are very simple, and simple answers are usually wrong. And might be dangerous. The way Mr. Trump talks about what he would do about ISIS, I mean, that's just talking as if a blind person talks about colors. I mean, that's really difficult to understand, and you don't want to try. And therefore, democratic policies always means complicated answers, compromises. Not radical rhetoric. You cannot just do that one-on-one in terms of political action. And therefore, I think the questions are really necessary. And as I said, you see that in the Bernie Sanders move very much so. And if Clinton wins, she will have to incorporate some of that if she doesn't want to lose many, many, especially young people. And there are problems in terms of what to do with people coming from other countries and refugees problem and all that kind of thing. But we have the experience that simple answers like building walls is just the wrong thing to do. It doesn't work, and most Americans will know that this doesn't work.
Something you both said is that Germans have great interest in the U.S. presidential election. Oliver, why do you think that is?
Well, I think the U.S. is one of Germany's closest allies, first of all. It's a superpower, and as easy as that. And, I mean, there have been very close relationships over the last decades. Obama is going to come to Germany in a surprise visit before he leaves office in November, just to give a little example of how important, obviously, the relations are. So we are following what's happening here, and many people are very interested in the United States.
You said that, but it can't be a surprise if you know he's coming, right?
Well, it was very unprecedented for us to hear.
We're going to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the refugee situation in Germany and also compare that to the talk of immigration that we've had here in the United States. We're going to continue our discussion about how the U.S. presidential election is being viewed in Germany in just a moment. You can call in your questions at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. We're talking with two people from Germany about the U.S. presidential election. Joining me are a state parliamentarian in the German state of... I'm going to have you say it. I don't think I say it. There we go. And vice chair of the Social Democratic Party in Germany, Rolf Stagner. And he's here with this group traveling around the country sponsored by a foundation, and correspondent with Deutsche Welle, Oliver Salat.
Thanks for having me.
You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook or Twitter, and you can send in your questions there as well. We've been talking a lot about how people in Germany are observing the U.S. presidential election. One of the things that is certainly a somewhat comparable issue is if you look at the talk of immigration that has gone on during this presidential election, and it's been a very big issue, especially for Donald Trump, but also Hillary Clinton in terms of her reaction to that. If you'll start out for us, Rolf, and tell us what the observation is of that, what do you find about this discussion of immigration? I mean, you did mention it a little bit earlier with the wall.
I mean, the interesting thing is, one always thought that it's one of the strengths of the American society that so many people come from different countries to this country as a country of hope, where they would realize their hopes for their own lives. That's a real strength, having so many different people. We are not used to that, and that's the same sense in Germany, and we have a big refugee movement, have had that in the last year. And that was difficult for our society. A lot of political debate also, and also rising of right-wing populism against minorities, against refugees. But we have to understand in the globalized world that we should not fight the refugees, but rather the causes why people have to flee. From terrorism, from environmental catastrophes, from hunger. I mean, we throw away food and otherwhere in the world people starve. We sell arms in regions where people have to flee because there are wars due to these arms. We have an industrial policy where otherwhere in the world we have environmental catastrophes. So talking about those points and referring to the Bernie Sanders campaign, talking about global justice is very important. There is no possibility to building a wall. We have very bad experience with walls in Germany, as you remember, so we should not advocate building walls. And everybody knows there will be no wall to protect Americans from illegal immigration, but rather giving people chances and trying to remain a strong and free society as the United States are and as we want to be. In Germany, one of the solutions, I think, will be to try to find common solutions with the other European countries. Europe is not an island. I think it was a wrong decision of Great Britain. The Brexit votes, keeping control, that was the whole issue there. And they will have economic disadvantages by having decided against the young generation, by the way. So that's not the possibility to kind of, you cannot fight globalization by closing the doors and the windows. That doesn't work. You have to stay an open society. And I hope that the Americans will decide on November 8 that they go for a global, for a free society rather than building walls against immigrants.
Do you want to follow up with that?
Well, yeah, I think I'd like to mention that we have a similar problem in Germany right now. We have a rise of the right wing in Germany as a result of the refugee crisis and of the so-called open door policy that our Chancellor Angela Merkel had in 2015. So I covered a lot of time of this year in the refugee hotspots. I traveled to the Balkans and Greece. And, you know, we had more than a million of refugees coming in. That put the government under severe pressure there to change their policies. Now, what's interesting is that this so-called Alternative für Deutschland, this is a right-wing populist party, is on the rise. They're almost in every state government. And next year, we're going to have national elections in Germany. So the current polls, they see them at 14% nationwide. So we're going to have this party for the first time in a national government. And my question to you, Ralf, would be which lessons you were monitoring here, the elections in the U.S. You were monitoring right-wing populism as a rhetoric here in the election campaign. So what kind of lessons are you learning for the upcoming national elections in Germany, and what are you going to do to stop that rise of the right wing there?
There's a very famous saying from Roosevelt, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. And although that was said in war times, it's still true. So we have to learn that we have to give answers to the questions that people have, but that we don't try to formulate politics on fears. Because the right wing people only have a chance by really living from fear. They tell the people all your problems with unemployment or they would be solved if there were not refugees or illegal immigrants here, and that's not true. And the scapegoat policies that you can see here in the United States, that is a dangerous thing to do. And we should learn from answering the problems of people, but really fighting hard against right-wing populists and not lean towards them. There are some conservatives who really give the wrong answers because they use the same propaganda. This is really, really wrong. And for my Social Democratic Party, it can only be having a progressive position, saying we're doing policies for all people, for those who are here and for those who come to us, rather than doing the scapegoat game, which is always dangerous and ends in not a peaceful development for the society.
So what have you learned from the U.S. elections here in this regard?
Well, I hope we will see the lesson on November 8th, whether Trump will succeed with what he did. But most of the polls say he won't, and that's a good thing. And hopefully that helps us a little bit with our general election as well.
Our phone number is 513-419-7100. Mike's calling in from Delhi. Hi, Mike. What's your question?
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly.
I just wonder if your guests has had a chance to see some of the background of the Clintons and their corruption and Clinton Foundation and the misuse of the funds for Haiti that left a lot of children and just the general populace stranded after this latest hurricane, when they were supposed to have structures built for the earthquake that they had previously. And also, if they really have looked at the heroin exports and coming through the borders, that would be one thing. The wall would help, you know, the just almost unstifled flow that we have of drugs coming across.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I heard about those things, and obviously there are some things where criticism really is a right thing to do. And also, a democracy is that you have to answer those questions. Yet, on the other hand, it's not as black as white as it is described. I mean, others described Donald Trump as a guy who never paid taxes and who didn't pay people working for him, and who's talking about jobs in America but exports his own jobs to China. I mean, so therefore there's a lot of double standard, I would say, in the whole election on both sides. But the difference between democracies and dictatorships are that here the questions can be raised, and here you have judges that are independent and trials that are, have to be done if it's the case. But I don't want to see a presidential candidate saying to the other one, if I would be president, you'd be in jail. I mean, that's not really the way democratic competition works, I think.
Mike, thanks so much for your call. We appreciate it. Again, our number is 513-419-7100. Andrew's calling from Cincinnati. Hi, Andrew. What's your question?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just would like to hear from the two gentlemen how they believe the North Atlantic Treaty Organization should ask all of its member countries to begin meeting their treaty obligations by spending the requisite amount of GDP on defense, and how that would potentially change the balance of power in both Europe as a whole and Eastern Europe in particular.
Rolf?
Well, that's a difficult question, because it's a hard thing to do to raise the military budget. We have so many other things to do. On the other hand, I think NATO is in the common interest of both sides of the Atlantic. The United States have a big interest in that, and so does Europe. I don't see that the answer will be kind of raising all those military budgets everywhere, rather than trying to find solutions with the Russians, because otherwise we won't be able to solve all the conflicts we have. Not in Syria, not in Iran, not in other parts of the world. And therefore, rather than having a new kind of up with arms debate, it's better to talk about to all those peace talks, I think, are much more.
So just
important.
As a follow-up, then what I'm hearing is that it's okay for America to spend unlimited dollars on defense, but it's not okay for its European partners and NATO partners to even meet their minimum treaty obligation?
No, that's not what I said.
I don't see how that's the way forward either.
No, that's not what I said. I think NATO is a partnership, and both sides have to fill their obligations. But whether it's now the right thing to do to raise all those military budgets, I'm not sure. NATO maneuvers on the Russian border doesn't help very much. Don't help very much. I think peace talks and trying to lesser tensions, that'll be the thing to do.
Andrew, thanks so much for your call. We appreciate it. Bonnie's calling from Loveland. Hi, Bonnie. What's your question?
Kind of deals with what you guys were talking about fear and sort of this alt-right movement. And I noticed that a number of supporters of Mr. Trump are donning Nazi uniforms and swastikas, and internet memes are going around. And I just wondered, you know, what's you guys' opinion about combating that sort of fear-based divisiveness that's going on?
Well, I think America has never been a country of fear. It's got its strength being a country of hope. And that was the success of the Obama presidency, and I think we should move on with the politics like that. Fear always leads to despair, and to wrong answers. And with those Nazi people you were describing, I mean, they belong rather in jail than having any influence in politics.
Bonnie, thanks so much for your call. We appreciate it. Just a few minutes left here. Talk a little bit about Angela Merkel and Merkel and her government and how it may compare to anything that's going on in the United States. Oliver, do you want to handle that one?
Well, yeah, I think we tackled part of this issue already. As I've mentioned, we've seen this, or we are currently experiencing the rise of a right-wing party in Germany. We are having this so-called Pegida movement that will translate into patriotic Europeans against the so-called Islamization of the West. They're taking to the streets in German cities. It's a little bit on the decline right now, but we've had massive amounts of people taking to the streets, especially in the Eastern German cities. Interestingly, especially the overall amount of Muslims is the lowest, there you would have the biggest support of anti-migrant policies such as the Pegida movement that I've just mentioned. And that obviously puts the government under pressure, and we're having the national elections next year. So it'll be interesting to see what's going to happen there and in which way we're going to see the party, they're not directly attached, but the AfD party, the Alternative for Germany, that are fostering the same ideas. And it'll be interesting to see how they're going to be represented next year.
Anything you'd like to add?
Well, we see in whole Europe rising nationalism, right-wing populists. But if we follow them, we lose peace and prosperity. And you have to give people answers, keeping our prosperity, which was really amazing in the last decades after World War II. So especially Europe should have learned its lesson. I think the conservatives really have to decide themselves whether they want to go with the right-wing populists or whether they start to fight them too, as we social democrats do.
Thank you both so much for being here today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
We've been talking about how Germans view the U.S. presidential election. My guests today were a state parliamentarian in the German state of Schleswig-Holstein and vice chair of the Social Democratic Party in Germany, Rolf Stegner. He's here with a group traveling around the country, and correspondent with Deutsche Welle, Oliver Sallet. In just a moment, we'll talk about students making the transition from high school to college when they have dyslexia, ADHD, or other learning disabilities.